You know, it was just this last summer when the American Legion was here with the regional tournament in World Series Baseball, and I had an opportunity to hang out with Chris Coast. Actually, I know Jack Michaels, and so I got to sit with Chris Coast, and I got to meet his beloved grandpa and get to know him a little bit, and I'm so pleased and so happy that I had the opportunity to meet Chris Coast's grandpa. And, well, Chris Coast joins us now on KFGO to talk about what it feels like to play in a World Series. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. Anytime I get a chance to talk about some baseball, especially the World Series, that's a pretty good day.
Well, you know, the whole town was just rooting for you back in 2008.
It's been 5 years already. Holy cow.
Yeah, and now you're beginning another part of your career. You're beyond being the 33-year-old rookie. You are now going to be the head coach over at Concordia in the next season, right?
Yeah, a little different level, but, you know, it's a level that I played at. I, you know, went to Concordia from 92 to 95, so it feels like I'm back at home, and now when I watch the World Series, I just get to watch it as a fan, so it's a little bit different perspective.
Well, and it certainly is a different perspective, and I can appreciate that. And now with your head coaching position coming up over at Concordia, I would imagine there's probably at least a few clips from this World Series, this Boston Red Sox-St. Louis series, that you might be able to show your players what not to do. There's been some remarkable ineptitude at times in this series.
Well, you know, there's things like that that take place in almost every major league game throughout the regular season. It's just that when it happens in a World Series environment, things get, magnified and make it look worse than it really was, because every play, every pitch feels like that's going to win or lose you the game. So it's nothing different than what happens on a regular day. It's just that now you got 20 million people watching.
Well, now, you as a catcher, you must have been what did you think when you saw the catcher and the pitcher fail to communicate and let the ball drop between them in that first game?
It's, you know, that's one of those things that's not overly surprising, because for some odd reason in the minor leagues, they try to teach the pitcher to just get out of the way and let someone else take it. But I've never been a believer in that, because here's Adam Wainwright on the mound when that happened, and he's one of the most athletic pitchers in all of baseball. So you're telling me that a major league pitcher, an athlete, is not able to catch that ball, and that just comes from the mentality of the minor leagues of teaching pitchers just to stay away from the ball when they can. I mean, he could have caught that ball between his legs if he wanted, and then instead, because of that concept, he kind of let it drop. So it's just one of those strange things, and I guarantee you that, and I use that with my guys now, and now that I'm coaching, I watch the game as a coach, and I showed that play to my guys and said, hey, listen, if that ball's hit to the pitcher, catch the ball. It's not that hard.
Mm. And, well, you know, I didn't perceive that they had even communicated. Of course, I can't hear, but I watched lips and stuff. It was like they didn't go, okay, I got it, or you get it, or where is it, or any. But anyway.
You know, that pitcher who is 6'7", hit his head on the top of the dugout before he went on the field. Do you think that, I mean, I thought maybe they just, they hadn't played in that ballpark, and maybe they just didn't know how that 102-year-old field worked.
Yeah, there must be some sort of ghost hanging around. But no, the funny thing was that the reason why I'm giggling when you said that is because I don't think there's a visiting player in the history of Fenway Park that hasn't banged their head in the dugout. I know I had a few times, and even when you play there a few times, and I'm 6'1", he's 6'7", of course, there's almost no chance that he was not going to bang his head at least one time.
So let's go back to in 08, when there you were, you first made your way onto the field for a World Series game. Can you recall what that felt like?
Well, of course. I mean, we could talk all day about what it felt like. The emotion for me was, it oddly enough, it felt like similar to just another day. I mean, I knew that there was a lot more to it than that. I knew that, you know, we were the only game going on. There's something pretty special about when, you know, when you're in the major leagues, for me, every game felt like the World Series anyways, but when you're actually in the World Series, there's not 15 other games going on. It's just your team. You know that everybody in your family's watching, all your friends, acquaintances, people that have been following your career, you know that they're watching. And then not only that, you know that all the other major leaguers are sitting home, and they would give anything to be in your shoes, whether you're a star or you're just the 25th man on the roster, or you're a guy like me that had to fight to get to big leagues. I mean, every baseball player would trade places with you in a heartbeat at that moment. And you realize how fortunate you are, because at that point, it's not about being a great player. It's being in the right place at the right time. I mean, look at this year. You had Carlos Beltran, who played 17 years and finally has got there this year. I got there, you know, after 3 years in the big league. So It felt like, and when it was all over, that's when the emotions kicked in. When you're actually playing in the World Series, you realize the importance of it, but when you're on the field and playing, you just play. All those emotions, the nervousness, that just goes away. Mm. However, the other games when I didn't play, when I had to sit and watch, was probably the most nervous I'd ever been on a baseball field, because I just had to sit back and watch and hope that my teammates would win us the game.
Wow. That's interesting. When you were out there, when you were playing in the World Series, is the old stereotype of you were able that you block out sound, all of the hoopla, and what you see and hear is exactly what you're supposed to see and hear? Just that weird little silence thing?
Yeah, so you know, when anybody that has the ability to get to the major leagues and also the mental toughness to get to the major leagues can handle a World Series environment. I really don't buy the, oh, you know, he made an error because he was nervous type thing. Guys make errors during the regular season. They make errors in the minor leagues. You make errors, mental mistakes at every level you play at. It's just that things get so much more magnified in the World Series. The media makes a bigger deal out of it. The players make a bigger deal out of it, all that stuff. So when you're actually playing the game, it's you know it's the World Series. Well, you know it's not just another game, but when you're playing, you don't think of, oh, if I miss this pitch, I'm going to lose the World Series. You're not thinking that way. It's more so after the game, you look back, and if you lose the game, you look back and say, that's when you have your regrets, or if you win the game, you have more excitement. But during the game, you are honestly playing it just like it's another game.
Did you ever have a chance to, well, I bet you did, to think about how the heck you can get in the zone? There's probably been times when you've been at bat when the ball looked like it was the size of a basketball when it was coming in, and the fences looked like they were 3 feet high, and wish you could get a pill that would put you in the zone.
Well, if you could somehow harness that, you'd be a billionaire. No, I think that most any athlete would tell you that it's just one of those rare things that just all of a sudden happens. You can try to trick your brain, but you're either in the zone or you're not. And if you go back and look at the Hall of Famers in any sport, really, those are the guys that found a way to get themselves in the zone a lot. I mean, a guy like me, I was in the zone on occasion, but you know, I was just an average major league player, which is still, you know, pretty cool place to be. But yeah. I had my ups and downs like everybody else, so it's... believe me, there was times I was trying to trick myself and, you know, to tell myself that I was in the zone. And that doesn't always work.
What about your family and your beloved grandpa, who I was so lucky to meet? Was he able to see you play in the big game?
Yes, the first two games took place in Tampa Bay, and I don't think I had any family there. But the next three games took place in Philadelphia, and that's where all my family showed up. And I had a lot of family and even some friends in Philadelphia. And the cool thing was one of my off-the-field World Series memories was it was the day before Game 3, and Game 3 took place in Philadelphia. And I had about, I don't know, 15 to 17 family and friends, and we kind of got together one night, and we ended up going to the Olive Garden. And the reason why is because it was right near the apartments where I lived and stuff, and we're in the back room, and all of a sudden word got out that my family and I were in the back room, and all of a sudden fans were sending back bottles of wine and offering to buy our meals. And as we walked out, the whole restaurant, imagine yourself at Olive Garden and the entire restaurant stands up and starts clapping.
Oh,
that's what happened.
Man.
And it was a pretty cool, it was a great moment for me, but more so for my family, because you know, when you play in a place like Philadelphia with incredibly passionate fans, that wasn't really the first time that something like that happened to myself or my teammates, but it was the first time I got to share a moment like that with 15 to 17 family and members of my family and friends. It was a pretty cool moment.
Hey, what did you think of that that call on Game 3 the other night? The interference call, third base. Obstruction, excuse me.
Right, when it first happened and they called it, I was actually disappointed. I thought that, you know, the call was wrong and so on and so forth. But, you know, as you read the rules or they, you know, you watch the newscast and they talk about the rule. And then as the umpires and Joe Torre, the guy that kind of is the head of the umpires, as they explained it, it made sense. And so as disappointing as it was that a Major League World Series game could end on a call like that, it essentially was the right call because as the rule states, he was obstructed. However, the funny thing was, is people keep talking about, oh, he lifted his legs. But if you watch the replay, the runner never touched his legs. The legs never came into play. He tripped over his backside or like his hip or something. And so there was nothing that the fielder could do. The fielder had no intent. And even if he did have intent with his legs, he never actually tripped them with his legs. Go ahead.
I just was wondering, just to make it clear then, he was obviously out at home plate, but the umpire called him safe because of the obstruction?
Right. It's how the rule goes is if he's obstructed and then gets thrown out at home plate, the home plate umpire then has to decide. If I remember the way the umpire explained it was, if he would have been out either way, then the home plate umpire has the right to still call him out. But so apparently they got together. The third base umpire called obstruction right away. And so since he continued to home plate, the home plate umpire and must have determined that he would have been safe if had it not been for the obstruction. That's how I remember the umpires explaining it.
Well, it didn't seem to be very confusing to the umpires, and the players didn't bellyache too much either. But so, and it went on. We have a great a World Series underway, and notched it to two games each. One other quick question for you. Chris Coast here with us on KFGO, the 33-year-old rookie. It was one of his books, and I'm just the catcher, and now he's head coach over at Concordia. Do you think baseball faces a real challenge in getting young people to play the game? I hear that every once in a while.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. I mean, especially since sports have become so refined, and you don't, in North Dakota, Minnesota, you still see the multi-sport athlete, but in the bigger cities, you don't see it as much. I mean, you look at a lot of high-level athletes are just playing football, or they're just playing baseball, and even same with hockey. Now guys are just playing hockey, and maybe they play another sport, but you don't see the Darren Erstedt. You know, Darren Erstedt, had an amazing baseball career, but he was also maybe the best hockey player in the state when he was in high school, the best baseball player, the best football player. You know, there are guys like that. You don't see that as much anymore. That's why I think that in the past, the great baseball players also played football, basketball, they ran track, all that stuff. So you don't see the multi-sport athletes, which I think is why you don't see as much. I think the youth aren't playing baseball as much as they used to, because I think they're feeling the pressure to pick a sport younger than they did, say, when I was in high school, or even much earlier than that.
Other than the World Series you were in, Chris, do you have a favorite?
Favorite, like, moment?
World Series.
I would say the 1986, just because it was so amazing. And people, believe me, I get the question 10 times a day, who am I rooting for? Who do I think is going to win? And at this, I don't have a favorite. I know so many guys in both teams. I played against so many of those guys, a few teammates. I just want to see a really close, I want to see each game close, and I want to see it to go to game 7. So far, as a fan, and I'm a fan of baseball, even before I've gotten to big leagues, and even now, I'll always be a fan of baseball. I just want to see it go game 7. I want to see it close, and if it ends in, I'd rather not see it end in controversy like it has, but as long as it's close in the ninth inning, the other team has a chance to win. That's all I'm looking for.
All I'm asking for is 7 games, extra innings, please.
Yes, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
I just get goosebumps thinking about it. And, Chris, you've given us some of our best local memories. And I tell you what, Tailgaters is a buzzing whenever I was over there when you were in the World Series. A place was a pack. And it's a real pleasure knowing you. You're a real gentleman. And thank you. And good luck to you over at Concordia, man.
Thanks, guys. As always, great talking to you.